Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Herd. Nick Wright in for Colin Cowherd. I think this is the best Cowboys team in at least 5 years, and maybe the best in 25 years. We'll do that in about 5 minutes. The great Mark Schlereth joins us in about 10 minutes. And we'll get to Bucks Pats in just a moment. But Joy Taylor is, of course, here. Colin, out, not feeling well. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. But Joy, have you heard the major news from outside of the sports world that is happening right now, this very moment? Do you know what I'm referring to?
There's a couple things happening. So, probably yes. I also know who Adele is, so.
Okay, let's not take personal shots. Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram down. Are down, yes.
That means two things. One is going to be very difficult for Kyrie Irving to do his own individual research on the vaccine.
True.
The other one means America might be the most productive Monday America's had in 15 years. People are at work like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to like actually respond to these emails? Not supposed to just click mark as read? Like I can't, I mean, what are people doing right now? No Facebook, no Instagram?
It's like the Stone Age.
I would imagine right now, how many people are signing up for TikTok accounts? Like, all right, I'm gonna figure out what this is about. We're gonna have a whole bunch of, what's that? The greatest, baby boomers signing up for TikTok accounts right now. They're like, I can't get on the Facebook. I'm going to see what this TikTok.com is all about.
Yeah, or Twitter.
So that's the news. So if you're, or Twitter. No. Boomers can stay off Twitter. I don't need them. I shouldn't have said that. I really shouldn't have said that. Listen, I said that out loud.
If you're not, Twitter is a different world altogether. You got to be ready for that.
100%. I wasn't ready for it this weekend. I called Trey Lance, Justin Fields, sent a tweet. Kyle Shanahan's ready to turn the page from, before Jimmy got hurt, sent a tweet. Kyle Shanahan's ready to turn the page from Jimmy Garoppolo. He's ready to put in Justin Fields. I just got the quarterbacks transposed, put my phone away. Like an hour later, I grabbed my phone when Trey Lance actually went in the game. I'm like, oh, I'm so smart. And I look, I'm like, 812 quote tweets. Like, why is everyone quote doing this? I'm like, oh, wrong player. That was one. Somebody, by the way, any of my friends that follow me could have just shot me a text. Nick, fix that one. Nope, nobody had my back. Just let me just be at a sports book alone, not getting things.
Did you delete it?
Yeah, bad job by all my friends. No, I don't delete tweets, please. They stand there. They stand there to be mocked. No. They are an important artifact, an important record of history, even if it's because I had a few too many Amstel lights and I got the name of the quarterback wrong.
Okay. Wow.
Let's get to the big Sunday night football game. Yeah, it happens. What are you going to do? Let's get a big Sunday night football game. Bucks, Pats. So I am reading Twitter today and I am seeing that everyone's so impressed by Mac Jones. And I'm just thinking, did everyone watch a different game than me? If I'm a Pats fan, I am incredibly depressed that my quarterback, ostensibly for the next decade, has a ceiling as high as a one-floor house. Nick, that's unfair. He lost to Tom Brady, a doink field goal. What do you want from him? You know how I know the Patriots deep down don't yet trust Mac Jones? Because Bill Belichick told you by making an otherwise indefensible coaching decision. So after the 19 straight completions, once Tom Brady had driven the Bucks down the field to retake the lead, the Pats are in a very unique spot. 4th and 3, bless you, less than a minute left. The ball right on the edge of field goal range. And Bill Belichick, the smartest and best coach in NFL history, the best game manager in NFL history, Bill Belichick has a choice to make, and the choice is this. Option A, trust Mac Jones to get 3 yards, get a shorter field goal for my aging kicker Nick Folk in a driving rainstorm, and guarantee Tom Brady never touched the ball again. Or option B, Do not trust Mac Jones to get 3 yards. Trot out a kicker who was drafted during the Bush administration, who last made a 55-yarder during the Obama administration. Hope he can make this outdoors in a driving rainstorm. And then hope my defense can hold on for dear life for the final 50 seconds to prevent the Bucs from getting in field goal range. Would I rather do that or trust my quarterback to get 3 yards? And Bill Belichick said, that's easy. Can't trust the quarterback. Kick the field goal. That tells you all you need to know. Folks out here killing Trevor Lawrence for how he played early in the year. Yeah, but then did you watch Thursday night? Made a few really nice passes. Zach Wilson and the 4 turnovers against the Patriots. Oh, my God. The Jets, what are they doing? Did you see Zach Wilson yesterday? Turns out letting your quarterback play without training wheels, sometimes they can learn to ride that bike faster than you imagine. And then you have the Patriots and the dink and dunk and dink and dunk and screen pass with Mac Jones because they don't trust him to throw the ball 15, let alone 20 yards downfield. He did it once yesterday. It was caught by the Buccaneers. Have the decision. We can guarantee Tom Brady doesn't touch the ball. We can guarantee that this field goal is shorter than 55 yards. We can do all of that if we believe Mac Jones can pick up 3 yards against a secondary that was injured before the game started, suffered another major injury during the game, or a couple of them actually. Winfield goes out, Carlton Davis goes out, Jamel Dean was already not there, Bunting was already not there, Richard Sherman's out there not looking like he's ready to play in NFL games, need to get 3 yards. Nope, I'd rather trust Nick Folk, who up to that point in his career was 3 for 8 on 55-yarders or longer and had not made one since 2015. That's not Nick Wright's opinion on Mac Jones. That's Bill Belichick's. Bill Belichick watched the drive before when the Patriots were down and a field goal took the lead, but a touchdown obviously made it to where a field goal couldn't beat him. He had a 1st and goal from the 9, incomplete, incomplete. And then a 0-yard gain. And then he watched on that drive where the only significant play was a pass interference. The Patriots, by the way, do have a way to get junk plays. Evidently, it involves Jacoby Myers throwing the football, because that's who they trusted to make the big play on the 2nd-to-last drive of the game. The numbers are not lying here. Can we show the worst quarterbacks this season on passes that travel at least 20 yards in the air? All right, so you have Jacob Eason, who's not a starter. Taysom Hill, who's not even a quarterback. By the way, Sean Payton, great job yesterday. Hey, Taysom, go throw a bomb. Okay, that's picked off. Davis Mills, who is not ready, and then Mac Jones. That's a passer rating of 10 on passes that go at least 20 yards. And he's thrown a bunch, and not a bunch of them, but more than those other guys by far. So I watched a different game than everyone else if they came away from it thinking, oh, Mac Jones. Tough to win in this league these days if you can't score 20. And the Patriots have now lost games where they've scored 16, 13, 17. The one game they broke 20 was when Zach Wilson was playing for them. Ah, Nick, he's young. The problem is this. The whole AFC is young. Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar, Josh Allen, Baker, Burrow, Lawrence. Throw Zach Wilson in there. That's 8 guys all around Mac Jones' age. Who's he ever going to be better than? Of those 8 guys, who will he ever be better than? Maybe Zach Wilson? Sure. So his best case scenario is he is the exact median in his own conference at quarterback. That was my takeaway from last night. No moral victories here. Patriots, if they could have picked up 3 yards, win that game, didn't trust the quarterback to pick up 3 yards. Other side of the conference, other side of the league, to the NFC, a team whose fans right now should be feeling the best they have felt in at least 5 years and maybe 25 years is the Dallas Cowboys. So I think the takeaway for a lot of people is going to be, Zeke wrote him off too early. I might have been one of those people that wrote him off too early. That's the best game Zeke's had in 3 years. The last year Zeke was a truly excellent running back was 2018, and he had a monster playoff game against Seattle, the last playoff game the Cowboys have won. This was the best game he has played since that playoff game against Seattle in the 2018 season. But that's not my takeaway. Dak Prescott's 4 touchdowns. That's not my takeaway. My takeaway for the Cowboys is very simple. You hit home runs at the top or near the top of drafts, you can remake your defense. The Cowboys seem to have hit a home run in Micah Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs is a star. You watch him and you're like, how was this guy a second round pick? He's 6'2", used to play receiver, so has great ball skills, big, strong, physical, athletic, great instincts, everything you want. He's been the best corner, with respect to Jalen Ramsey, he has been the best corner in all of football this year. And I understand it's the Panthers, and even though they were undefeated, we have questions about their offense, especially without McCaffrey. I get that. But this Cowboys defense doesn't have to be great. Those of us that thought the Cowboys would be good this year, the math was elite passing attack, decent rushing attack, and a defense that's just not, can it not be bottom 10? What the Cowboys have right now is an elite passing attack, an excellent rushing attack, and a defense that has a chance to be top 10. Not top 5, but top 10, particularly once they get DeMarcus Lawrence back. They've got a surplus of linebackers. Parsons is awesome. DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back. And Trayvon Diggs is a revelation. Second round pick in his second year with 5 interceptions this year, 2 more yesterday. If this Cowboys defense is above average throughout the season, particularly when you look at their schedule, it's not just the NFC East, and we can show it to you, it's the other teams, the other divisions they play. It's like, oh, who did we draw this year? Okay, the AFC West, that part's not great, but the rest of it, who are you playing over the next 2 months that scares you other than Kansas City? The answer is nobody. You draw the NFC South, which this year appears to have one good team in Tampa. You could say Carolina as well, but they just beat them and beat them convincingly. Final 6 games of the year, Saints, Washington, Giants, Washington, Arizona's tough, and then Philly. With the way the NFC West is going to beat itself up. They might have the best teams in football, but they got to play each other. Packers, Bucks, Cowboys are going to, I'm not saying they're the 3 best teams in the NFC, but they are the 3 teams that are going to be competing for the 1 seed. And the Packers' schedule is a brutality. Got even harder by, hey, your bonus game, you get to go to Arrowhead. So if you're the Cowboys, yeah, that loss to the Bucks looms large, particularly when it comes to tiebreakers. But this is the best team you've had since 2016. And 2016, you could have gone to the Super Bowl. I swore I wasn't going to buy into the Cowboys because at the beginning of the year, you looked at their schedule and you're like, oh, they could get off to a really good start. You expect them to lose to Tampa, but I didn't. You looked at the rest of it and you're like, oh, it really doesn't stiffen up till the second half of the year. I was like, but I'm not going to. I've made this mistake before. But with the defense playing the way it is, and it's young players who you expect to actually get better over the course of the year, it's hard not to believe in them. Dak is excellent. Zeke just had his best game in 3 years. And Trayvon Diggs has been just unstoppable. Parsons has been exactly what all the scouts said he would be coming out of Penn State. If you have top 5 offense, what do you need? The 10th best defense in football to be a real Super Bowl contender? Now, I understand I'm going to regret all of this the next time Mike McCarthy, when, you know, the clock's winding in the fourth quarter and he tries to, you know, call for an Uber instead of call a timeout. But aside from the coaching component, a clock management, game management stuff, I really like what I've seen from the Cowboys through the first month of the year. Does Mark Schlereth agree with my assessment of the Cowboys? His takeaway from last night's huge game between the Bucks and Pats, and Does he agree that Kyler Murray right now is running away with league MVP through 4 weeks? Stink, three-time Super Bowl champion, joins us next. Nick Ryden for Colin on The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Terry Bradshaw's $100,000 jackpot has been won. Jonathan from Rhode Island is taking home the cash after the Patriots' last-minute field goal hit the uprights and the Bucks won by two. If you missed out on the fun yesterday, don't worry. This week's contest is already live. Scan the QR code, download the app, and predict the outcomes of six NFL games for your shot to win Terry's money. It's completely free to play.
Congrats to Jonathan. Smooth 100 grand watching that field goal, holding his breath, saying, Nick Folk, please still be Nick Folk.
And loudest was, doink
missed
ever.
The field goal, Jonathan wins the money. Oh, yeah, there. You know what? You were talking about conspiracy theories earlier. I think the NFL has increased the volume on the boom mics near the uprights. We've had a few loud doinks this year. This is without question the loudest doink season so far. I think it's the, and by the way, I like it. I like the aesthetic that they've added.
Yeah.
We will speak with Joy Taylor more in just a moment. But first, let's go to the Herdline Global Network for my dear friend Mark Schlereth to talk a little bit about the NFL from yesterday. So Stink, listen, I know a lot of the audience probably doesn't remember your collegiate career as an Idaho Vandal vividly, but I, of course, do. Growing up in Kansas
right.
City, we made sure to watch all the Idaho Vandals games in the late 80s. And while you won three Super Bowls on the offensive side of the ball, if I remember correctly, in college you played the defensive side of the ball. And the reason I bring that up is Trayvon Diggs has been spectacular. He's the Cowboys' second-year, second-round corner. And he played some offense growing up and in college. And it feels to me like he has a lot of the ball skills of an offensive player. He has the size of a receiver, which is helpful. And he still is fluid in his hips and can move. I think that the Cowboys are a totally different tier of contender if he and Micah Parsons are this good this early. What do you think of Diggs and, you know, his ability to play that side of the ball, having played the other side of the ball?
First, let me just say the only way you watched Idaho games when I was playing is if your parents drove you to Idaho from Kansas City, because you could not find those on any television station anywhere. Okay,
right,
that's number one.
Okay, I was lying.
But number two, you know, I came in to the University of Idaho as an offensive player, and they moved me to the defensive side where I played nose guard, defensive end, outside linebacker. I did a lot of different things. Until I had so many injuries and I moved back to the offensive side. But the point being is that the offensive side, I was a better player on the offensive side because of my experience on the defensive side. It lent itself to understanding what the defense was trying to do. What, you know, when guys got into positions that weren't right, or from a leverage standpoint, they shouldn't be in those positions, you could see it and you knew what was coming. You could just sense what was coming. I think when you play the other side of the ball, it really helps you understand the issues that you have, you know, what they're trying to do to you, how they're trying to put you in conflict. You have a better opportunity to read routes and route combinations and to understand what that offense is really trying to accomplish. Therefore, it makes you that much quicker breaking on the football, making you that much more decisive when you see something that you just feel like, bam, I'm going to trigger and I'm going to go get that. And I think that's what you see with Diggs. I will also say with the Dallas Cowboys, one of the great hires this offseason has been Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is a relationship builder. Dan Quinn is a great football coach who builds teams together. And they lost that Super Bowl when he was the head coach of Atlanta. They never recovered from that. They just flat out didn't recover as an organization. But Dan Quinn's a hell of a football coach and a hell of a just a relationship builder with his players. He's one of those guys, and I played with guys like this, Gary Kubiak, for instance, who you just never wanted to let down. You just had so much connection to that particular coach. You just did not want him ever to let him down. So I think they've got a good thing brewing in Dallas right now. I think that's one of the best hires in the National Football League for Mike McCarthy and for anybody, in, you know, when it comes to assistant coaches that were hired this offseason.
All right, a game and not a lot of people were watching at the end, Baltimore-Denver, and something odd happened at the end. So Baltimore picks off Drew Lock in the end zone. Baltimore's up by 16. There's 4 seconds left. They could take a knee, but they are 3 yards shy of tying a 50-year-old record from the Steelers of 100 yards in at least four, rushing in at least 43 consecutive games. Kind of obscure, but it mattered to Harbaugh. So he had Lamar. He called a play for Lamar to run. They go and get the record. Vic Fangio was asked about it just moments ago. Let me play the Fangio audio for you, and then you can respond.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of but I expected it from them. You know, I've 37 years in pro ball. I've never seen anything like that, so... But it was to be expected, and we expected it.
Why did you expect it from them?
Because I just know how they operate. You know, they that's just their, you know, mode of operation there. Player safety is secondary.
So there's Vic Fangio. What do you think of Baltimore doing it, and what do you think of Fangio's reaction?
Well, put myself in Fangio's shoes, put myself in a player's shoes, I'd be livid. And, you know, I understand that. I mean, I understand in those situations when you're up, you have that lead, you get an interception, there's 3 seconds left, you take a knee. And, you know, we have made a big deal over the taunting penalties, right? And over player safety. And the reason that the taunting penalties have come up is simply because you understand that there is a frontier justice nature in this league. And when you see things like that, that you think are Bush League, guess what happens? The next time you face, now they're not in the same division, obviously, so they're not going to face each other unless they both get to the playoffs potentially. But I'm telling you, if both these teams got to the playoffs, there'd be some frontier justice. There'd be some retribution through Vic Fangio and through the players on the defensive side of the football, because that's one of those situations, the game's in hand. We know you should be taking a knee. You know you should be taking a knee. And that's not something that that teams, you know, take lightly. That would irritate me, and it irritated Vic Fangio, certainly, and irritated the guys on the Broncos defense. And I get people will say, well, then you should stop it. Yeah, okay, I get it. But guess what? Next time you do take a knee, maybe we take a shot, you know. Maybe we jump over the pile and hit your quarterback in the teeth. You know, that those are the kind of things – I mean, these are type A personalities. These are the greatest competitors in the world that play in the National Football League. And the game is over. You don't do that. And it's just a it's bad etiquette. I don't care if you have some obscure record you're trying to get.
Well, and I don't think – I think in an odd way, this was gave you a window into how good or how not good Baltimore thinks Denver is, because I don't think they do this if it's a team they expect to play in the playoffs. I think if they're playing the Chiefs or the Bills or the Browns are obviously in the division or the Chargers, I don't think they do it. I think it's Denver. It's like, we don't play you again for 2 years unless you make the playoffs. Like, good luck on getting your get back on us. And so right or wrong, I think that probably played a bit of a role there. I want to get, before you go, Stink, I want to get to a couple other games. You were in Santa Clara for the Niners game. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's gonna that you're gonna be able to tell your grandkids, not that they'd be that interested, I was at Jimmy Garoppolo's last start for the San Francisco 49ers, or do you think he could get his job back?
Oh, I think when he's healthy, it's his job. I mean, there's right now that those the discrepancy between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, that is a cavern that you can't leap. I mean, that thing is huge. And Jimmy Garoppolo is playing great football. Now he had the calf injury. He had to leave the football game. But, you know, Trey Lance isn't quite ready for prime time yet. Yeah, think about it. He only had, what, 300 and some snaps in college football. He just is – there's a lot of growth potential. Obviously, there's a lot of – there's a high ceiling for Trey Lance. But he's not there right now, and I get that everybody has this desire to watch him play and this desire to go, you know, two quarterback systems and all those different things. But, you know, there were a lot of plays that he left on the football field, and I think a lot of it has to do when you talk about West Coast offenses and you talk about throwing mechanics in the National Football League, a lot of West Coast people, a lot of quarterback coaches will say you throw it with your feet. You've got to have great feet. You got to have great balance. And what you have to understand is whether you're in shotgun or whether you're under center, your feet tied to the route combinations that are being thrown. So if you're not on point, you have a lot of errant throws. You have a lot of mistimed throws. And that's what I saw yesterday calling the game. There were a lot of just really, really bad throws. And okay. I mean bad throws. So, and that to me, again, is lack of experience, lack of timing with your feet and with the route combinations you're throwing. And when I look at, and I like San Francisco's players, I love George Kittle, I love Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, they're good players, really good players. But they're not one of those teams that match you up and say, our guy is just going to out-route run you, he's just going to dice you up. You know, they're not Tyreek Hill, they're not Devontae Adams, they're not those guys. So they get sure. it through scheme out of their running game, through the play action out of their running game. That's how they win. And if you're going to get those big plays, those explosives out of scheme, you better be tied together with your quarterback. And he's just not quite ready for prime time in that regard. Athletically, oh, my gosh, the guy's a freak show. But, you know, from a throwing standpoint, being on time and all those things and accuracy, he's got a ways to go to even come close to Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, last one before you go. Bucks, Pats. I was, I'll be honest, shocked that Bill Belichick had two options. Option A, let Mac Jones try to pick up 3 yards and guarantee Tom Brady doesn't touch the ball again and we have a shorter field goal to win the game. Option B, kick a 56-yard field goal with Nick Folk in the rain that even if we make it, Brady's going to get the ball with a chance to come beat us. And he chose option B. A, were you surprised? And B, does that tell you anything about his faith or lack thereof in his young quarterback right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, I was surprised. And two, yeah, you're trying to win it and get out, right? I mean, and you do, like you said, you do have the young quarterback. The decision, yeah, hindsight being 2020, you try to pick up that 3 yards on 4th and 3 and see if you can make it a shorter field goal. I get that. Here's the deal. You know, I mean, think about how this game went. What do they have, about three or four or five rushing attempts tops? I mean, so you know
Eight
you're
for
completely.
Negative one.
Yeah, you know you're completely, thank you. You know you're completely predictable from a game planning standpoint. So you're going to drop back on 4th down and 3, completely understanding the defense knows there's not one chance in heck that you're running the football, right? So now you don't have that duality. Now you don't have a defense that has to basically defend. They don't have to defend the run. They don't have to they're defending the pass. That's all they're defending. So you've already limited yourself in that regard as an offense. So there's a lot of things that go into a decision like that. And I'll just say, I have this theory is what would Belichick do? You know, the one of them rubber bracelets. I'll just say, hey, if Belichick decides to do it, I'm going to defer to Belichick.
Fair enough. There's Mark Schlereth. Stink, I'd love to keep you longer, but it's been a few hours. So I think it's time for you to go mow your lawn again. I will talk to you later, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you, Nick. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. There is the great Mark Schlereth. Here is the, dare I say, even greater Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, let's talk about these Steelers, Nick. They scored a touchdown on their opening drive against the Packers. That was cute because that was the only highlight from the passing game. They didn't reach the end zone again until the fourth quarter. 27-17 loss. They have now dropped three straight games and failed to score more than 17 points in all of them. Since starting last season with 11 straight wins, the Steelers have lost 8 of their last 10, including the playoffs.
Ooh, I didn't think about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Ben is averaging 42.5 passing attempts per game. The Steelers are last in the NFL in rushing yards per game, 55.3.
So listen, the offense as a whole, given those numbers, obviously is a problem. They don't have a good offensive line.
Correct.
Najee Harris, their first round pick, is out there for every play, every game, it seems like. And I don't think he's a bad player, but he doesn't have a lot of holes. Like, he obviously has some growth to do. But Ben also can't throw anymore. I understand the idea of, well, if he can't throw anymore, why are you having him throw the ball so much? I don't totally understand that. But Ben's lowlights are, you almost have to blur them on the screen or you get an FCC fine. They're bad. And I was, one of the most shocking things that happened yesterday was the touchdown to Deontay Johnson. 45 yards, like, oh, wow. But it was all downhill from there. And they have no contingency plan, Joy. None. I mean, maybe they end up being Jimmy Garoppolo's home, but that's another expensive quarterback for him. I don't know what they do. I do know this. The Steelers, it was the Steelers that beat the Bills in week one, right? That was the first week of the year. It's right now the most bizarre result of the season. Because the Steelers since then have been dreadful, and the Bills since then have been phenomenal.
Well, the Packers
blowout. I think that's the most bizarre
the Packers
result
blowout
of the season.
Week one was pretty dramatic, although I would say the Saints are a better team.
All right, Joy's correct. I forgot about that game. That is the second most bizarre game of the season. It was the one I said. The most one is the one Joy said. She's right. Jameis and the Saints going 38-3 on the Packers. You're correct.
All right, but
the
I would
most
say that
bizarre
the Saints,
AFC game of the season.
But the Saints are a better team than the Steelers at this point, even though they've been inconsistent.
True.
So,
but those are the games that threw us off the scent, is my point. There are a few games that happen early in the year that make you think one thing. Make you think one thing about Buffalo, about Pittsburgh. No. Buffalo's excellent. Pittsburgh stinks. And, I mean, Seattle, they'll lose to them. The Browns, they'll lose to them. So they sure as hell better hope they beat these Broncos. Because, or else, they're going to be 0-7 going into that Bears game.
Yeah, the Broncos, well, obviously we don't know what Teddy Bridgewater's status is, but it's looking like it's going to be Drew Locke. So, yes, they absolutely should beat the Broncos. I don't know that they will, though, even with Drew Locke. So the Jets offense showed some signs of life, logging a season high 355 total yards in their first win of the season. Zach Wilson threw for nearly 300 yards and 2 touchdowns and showed off his big play ability to help the Jets avoid an 0-4 start. It came down to the wire. Jets kicked a field goal to take the lead in overtime. Titans had a chance to tie it up with seconds remaining, but they missed their 49-yarder and gave the Jets the 27-24 victory. Derrick Henry, of course, continues to be absolutely unbelievable. He is my favorite player at his position in the league. 33 carries, 157 yards, and 1 touchdown. He is unstoppable, except for when he is not on the field, which is the Titans' defense, which did not do well yesterday. Zach Wilson was 21 of 34, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. I thought this was a great win for the Jets. I felt good for the Jets. I wasn't rooting in any direction in this game, but I like to see growth with young quarterbacks, a new coach in Robert Saleh. That's a win that you can feel like, we are building something.
Look at
here.
That throw. And by the way, if you're the Titans, you were without obviously AJ Brown and Julio Jones. Corey Davis, who you spent a top 10 pick on, not on the team anymore, and he did more in this one Jets game than he did at any point in his entire Titans career, most notably this catch right here on this Zach Wilson throw. But this, listen, the Jets said, Zach, we're not gonna make you play with training wheels. Now, that means you're going to have some cuts and bruises. You're going to scrape some knees and some elbows. You're going to wear a helmet. You're going to survive it. But that means you're going to be able to ride with the family sooner. Other teams aren't doing that. Patriots aren't doing that, Mac Jones. It's all training wheels. It's all bumper bowling. It's, you know, protect him in a bubble. They don't grow up. Zach Wilson, by the way, I'm sure will have another 4 interception game this year. I'm sure there'll be another game where he's terrible.
Yeah.
But what you want to see is moments and flashes, especially Joy, in the AFC and the NFC are in very different places quarterback-wise. As far as the NFC, Brady, old. Rodgers, old. Russell Wilson, not old, but probably more yesterday's than tomorrow's at this point, right? And then there's Dak and Kyler as far as young guys. Stafford is 12 years into the league, right? AFC, Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar, Allen, Baker, by the way, not good yesterday. And then Burrow, the number one pick this
Trevor
year.
Trevor Lawrence.
The kid with the amazing hair. Trevor Lawrence, thank you, apologies. That's 7 guys.
Yeah.
That's 7 guys that I think are all going to be excellent. That's half the conference. So you need your quarterback to have a super high upside. That's what the Jets are trying to figure out. It's a great win for the Jets. And the Titans defense, they should have to walk back to Nashville. That was terrible.
So Tom Brady and Belichick met for an extremely quick hug. But an embrace nonetheless after the Bucs beat the Patriots last night. I was not expecting them to embrace at all. I thought it was going to be one of those like hand things with like, you know, the handshake with like the pat on the shoulder. You know, you got to leave space for God. You know, like
fake
that, one of those.
Yep.
Fake bro hug, yeah. But it was really quick. Just, we're going to show right here. Just a nice slow motion. So it's really not emphasizing how quick it was. But I believe he says, good job. See ya. I think that's what it is. Good job. See ya. There you go. Full speed. Quickest hug in history. But Brady was very generous all week, and he spoke about his relationship with Belichick after the game.
We had a personal relationship, and for 20 plus years. So he drafted me here, and we've had a lot of personal conversations that should remain that way, and they're very private. And I would say so much is made of our relationship, and nothing's really accurate that I ever see. It's all kind of, definitely doesn't come from my personal feelings or beliefs. And I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and obviously a lot of respect for this organization and, all the different people here that try to make it successful.
So Nick, you're not so into the pomp and circumstance and I was really interested to see what their interaction was going to be. I'm all for a little bit more of the drama, but I also believe there's more to this story than Tom Brady is saying in that space. Now, do I think he respects Bill Belichick? Of course. He'd have to be a crazy person not to. And I think he has a lot of respect for Robert Kraft and for the organization, and certainly for the cities and fans. And he doesn't want to take anything away from what he did there by piling on them. There's no value in that at this point in his career. I do think, however, and this is how I hope it plays out, is that we get the tea, we get the last dance type of information and behind the scenes extra stuff when both of them are away from the game. I want to see their legacies play out in the directions that they are going at this point without any extra information about what happened during that dynasty. Because I want to really enjoy that in its fullness without it changing how my opinion of the rest of Tom Brady's career or Bill Belichick's.
That's fair, and it should be noted, Albert Breer reported that after the handshake, they sat and met together for 20 minutes after the game. And so I do wonder what that was like, especially because Seth Wickersham reported that Belichick wouldn't meet with him in person right. when he was originally leaving, that it was only over the phone. So the fact that they got 20 minutes together is, at least to me, somewhat noteworthy. And it reminded me, I thought this is what you were going to say, Joy, the post-game handshake, the brief, okay, we have to do this and then let's leave, and then 20 minutes sit down. It really did remind me of every time Joy comes to New York City. I'm on the field, just post-game handshake, hi, Nick. And then it's like, where'd Joy go? It's like, oh, she's with my wife. They're hanging out. We'll see you tomorrow. It's like, oh, okay. But she said hi, but then it is. There's Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Exactly how it goes.
Great line. It's exactly how it goes. Great line by Joy Taylor that I'm, maybe she came up with, maybe not, but I'm going to sign to you. I'd never heard it before. Leave space for God in
middle church
of the hug, the space there. I've never heard
that's
that
the church,
before.
You know, when you hug at church, you give a quick little, you can't get too close.
Joy, I'm going to tell you the truth. Been a while since your old buddy Nick Wright's been to church.
Guilty as well, but I still have given my share of church hugs.
Exactly. Church hugs, yeah. When I did go to church, it was with my mom and dad pre-divorced 25 years ago, and it was not the type of church, a lot of hugging going on. More just like kneel on these terrible pews and think about all the things
you're doing. Yeah, I grew up in a Baptist church.
Nobody cares about these things. Yeah, it's a little different. A little Baptist church with your family versus the Catholic diocese, my family. A little different church experience. That's going to be in the post-show podcast. Coming up next, however, we play the three-name game. I think that's what it's called.
Three-word.
Nick Ryan for Colin on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Nick Wright in for Colin on The Herd. Speak for Yourself starts in just under 10 minutes, and judging by Emmanuel Acho's Twitter feed, they're going to be discussing whether or not the Cowboys are legitimate Super Bowl contenders after their game yesterday, dominating win over Carolina. Right now, though, we're playing, they call it the three-word game. I call it the three-name game, even though it doesn't really make sense that way. That rhymes. Normally, we would do all 16 games from the weekend. However, we don't have time for that. So give me 7 games at random, and I will come up right off the top of my head, totally on my own. No help whatsoever. 3 words for them. Let's start with Jets-Titans. And that is exactly as planned. What does that mean? So you take your bumps and bruises with Zach Wilson so you can have a performance like this. on balls that traveled at least 20 yards in the air, 4 for 4, a perfect passer rating, including this chef's kiss dime to Corey Davis. That's why you let your quarterback play without training wheels. Also, Titans, oh boy. Derrick Henry can't do everything. Yesterday he had to do everything. Should have lined him up at middle linebacker. Maybe they could have gotten some stops. That is a terrible loss for the Titans. All right, show me the next game and we will keep it moving because I am not good at doing things quickly. Okay, Eagles and Chiefs. Hill freezes over. Here's the deal. Tyreek Hill targeted 12 times, 11 catches, 186 yards, 3 touchdowns. Should have been 4. One got called back on review by like a quarter of an inch. This is a problem with stopping the Chiefs. Last 2 weeks prior to this one, teams were like, we're bracketing Hill. He's not going to beat us. So Travis Kelce just had monster games. Against the Eagles were like, we are not letting Travis Kelce take over. And so Tyreek Hill just ruins the entire game plan. Mahomes made one mistake the entire game. They have the best offense in football by a mile. The defense has been terrible, though. Take on the Bills next week in the game of the year in the AFC. But three-word game, Hill freezes over. All right, give me the next game. Next game is, oh boy, Browns and Vikings. I hope Colin is staying nailing Baker. Baker gets bailed is our three words here. Baker was real bad. If you didn't watch this game, good for you, because it was not a fun football game. You might see, oh, but the score is 14-7. They didn't even get to the 14 in the regular way. It wasn't like it was 2 touchdowns. The Browns defense was awesome. This is the worst game Baker's played in a couple years. And he had Odell wide open to ice the game late. He missed him. Odell seemed frustrated. Browns get to 3-1, and their one loss obviously was a good loss, the loss against the Chiefs. But Baker's got to be better. All right, give me the next one. Next one is Panthers Cowboys. D's for defense, meaning big D, meaning Dallas. You guys understand. It's not that complicated wordplay. Micah Parsons is awesome. Their corner Diggs, Trayvon Diggs, has been the best corner in football this year. I mean, and look at this, the break on the route, the ball skills, and the size. If he is who he's been through a quarter of the season, one of the best corners in football, plus Micah Parsons, plus the linebacking core they have, plus DeMarcus Lawrence, all of a sudden when he comes back, you could have a very good defense. We know how good the offense is. All right, next one. We're probably not going to get to all these because I'm so bad at going quickly through things. Washington and Atlanta. Heinicke to success. Hey, listen. Heinicke played a perfect fourth quarter. I don't care when Fitzpatrick gets healthy. Heinicke's got to be the starter. Even though it ruined my Atlanta plus 1.5. Just kick a field goal at the end, guys. All right, do we have time for one more? I think we have time for one more. Maybe we have time for more. One more. Last one is Seahawks and Niners. Trey's Bay now. Listen, I think Trey Lance should be the starter the rest of the year. I think Kyle Shanahan wants him to be the starter the rest of the year. We will see if Trey plays well enough to keep the job. I think he just has to be mediocre, and he's going to be the starter moving forward, and they look to move Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, coming up next, why I think Bill Belichick told you everything you need to know about his faith in Mac Jones. That's next. Nick Redding for Colin on the Herd.